The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sacktown Sports.
Back and say, well, San Francisco and the Cowboys haven't been to a Super Bowl in 25 years. Okay? And haven't won a Super Bowl in 25 years. I understand that. San Francisco's in the same boat.
That was Jerry Jones.
Quiet, Jerry.
Random. Yeah, quiet, Jerry.
They've been to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they've been. At least they're almost championship relevant. Go back and sit at the kids' table, Jerry.
Mm.
Let the adult franchises talk. Jerry Jones. Greg Papa with us in just a couple of seconds as we've been using post-mortem all week. Like the Niners died. Well, their season did, I guess. Said this all morning. I've really been saying this all week. This is bittersweet.
Yeah, we are dreading this.
I'm dreading it, and I'm always excited. Greg Papa's one of my favorite people. I get to talk. It's one of those times where, you know, it's one of those things, you know, you've said this before, Jason. We've been doing this a long time. There's some times where you just do it for free.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can talk to Greg Papa all day. Yeah. I'm really a fan of his, and you know how much I love play-by-play. I'm obsessed with his calls. I love them. I love talking to him. He's such a wonderful mind. But then we're not going to talk to him again until next year.
August. Yeah, but it's coming.
I
look
know.
Forward to
it's
it.
It's just so late. I want to talk to Greg Papa and ask him if he got fitted for his ring. Joining us right now, the voice of the Niners, the one, the only, kind enough to join us each and every year, it is Greg Papa. Good morning, Mr. Papa. How are you?
Wow, you said all those nice things, and then you got a drop. Did he get fitted for his ring?
I want to talk to you. That's the convo I wanted. I want.
That is harsh.
I want to bring you on and say, Greg, when do you get your ring? And have you do a scream and yell, and we all celebrate. And what a week, man. How are you doing?
Yeah, they don't give out rings for NFC West championships. They do give out rings for NFC championships, which we do have from that Kansas City lost a couple of years ago. And I mean, the feeling when you look at the three heartbreaking losses the last 4 years, starting with the 3rd and 15 at the Super Bowl 54 against Kansas City, the 2-3 chip Jet Watts play in Kansas City taking it from you. That was hard. But I think you left the stadium thinking we're one play away. But they're good. You know, once they hit that first shot, they get rolling like the Warriors. And then the game last year, similar. You're up 10 points going to the fourth quarter of the NFC Championship game. You think you got these guys. We beat them six times in a row. And then Cooper Kupp, first play of the fourth quarter, touchdown with Tom. And obviously, we know what happened there. But in that game, you know, Jimmy wasn't healthy last year, so you could always rationalize. If Jimmy Garoppolo did not have the thumb and the shoulder injury, which became a surgery, they won the Super Bowl last year. There's no doubt in my mind. But it didn't happen. This one, it happened so early. It wasn't in the last 6 minutes of the game. It was on the sixth offensive play of the game where Brock just got nailed. And I saw it right away. You know, first thing we heard was elbow, but I thought ulnar collateral ligament. It looked like, did he hurt his, what else is in the elbow? Did he hurt his UCL? And you didn't know the severity of it. But for him to have to come back into the game after Josh Johnson got concussed and to have to play, literally he was the fugitive. He's the one-armed man. But the one arm that works is the left arm. And he's right-handed, or really a no-arm man. He's playing with a straitjacket on. It was terrible. It was really a very difficult experience. It was just so non-competitive. It reminds me a lot, for Raider fans out there, the 2000 AFC Championship game, Raiders hosting against Baltimore. Rich Gannon gets a third snap of the game. Barry Sims forgets there. Didn't know the snap count. Michael McCrary comes around the edge of Baltimore's great defense and rocks Rich. He gets up, stays in the game. But shortly after that, Tony Siragusa picks him up and just plants him on his shoulder and knocks him out. And you had to play the AFC Championship game without Rich Gannon. And, you know, Bobby Hoying came into the game, and that was the year the Raiders in 2000 led the NFL in rushing yards. And not only did Bobby Hoying play that game at quarterback, but he was the Raiders' leading rusher in that game. That's how bad it got. So it was like that. The Raiders also had a playoff game in Houston in 2016 when Derek Carr got hurt on Christmas Eve that year. Matt McGloin got hurt the last game of the season. They had to play a rookie fourth-round pick, Connor Cook, against J.J. Swatt and Jadeveon Clowney, and that got sideways. So I've seen some rough things. You know, 49er history, Steve Young cracked his ribs. The only previous time the Niners ever played Philadelphia was that wild card game in 96, but they won the game, but they lost Steve Young the next game against Green Bay to the cracked ribs, and Elvis Grobach came in. So it's just one of those deals, guys, where the night before the game, honestly, I thought Philadelphia is going to win this game. They're just better. And I never do that going into a game, but I just I had seen so much dominance from them against good teams all year. There was a time when they got sideways when they lost their quarterback, and even some games where they, you know, Washington beat them, Indianapolis held them down, but they were really a dominant team, dominant. Offensive line, defensive line, skilled players, the quarterback, just dominant. So I thought, how's this going to happen here? But the reality is he tied the game at 7 on the McCaffrey touchdown, so he was somewhat even with them. But it's easy to my mind to just say, you know, maybe Philadelphia was better, but you'd like to have had the chance to prove it, and you never got that chance. The one thing, guys, to keep in mind, the 49ers are going to Philadelphia next year. And if the Eagles win the Super Bowl a week from Sunday, the team that wins the Super Bowl hosts that first game on Thursday night when they start the NFL season. Would there be a better choice to come into the Lincoln South Philly than Nick Bosa and a bunch of pissed off 49ers to go kick their ass? That would be the perfect offseason. I know we're getting into Brock and the, you know, rehab and surgery and all that. If you get Philadelphia on the schedule week one, these guys will be foaming at the mouth. Not the Rams, not Seattle, not anybody else you want to play. Dallas coming in here, Giants, none of that. I hope the NFL does it. Philadelphia's got to win the Super Bowl, but would that not be perfect symmetry to go back into there and try to write a run? Now, you're not going to win the NFC Championship game that night, but I would favor the 49ers going into that game. I know how angry they are how last Sunday went.
I love that visuals. We're talking with Greg Papa. All guests come to you on the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. So let's go there, Greg, and say that is the season opener, maybe a two-parter. Who's going to be the quarterback of the 49ers on that game one, and how realistic was the Tom Brady rumors as a potential Niner?
Well, from the 49ers standpoint, I have no idea. In reality, I guess the Tom Brady rumors were not accurate in any regard, because he was not going to leave the East Coast. He's got, obviously, had a very public family situation this year, and he's got children in Florida, and he's got another child in New York, and he wasn't going to change coast. So I know the Raiders were very much in on Tom Brady. I think that's why they did the Derek Carr thing so early, to leave themselves open for that. But ultimately, Tom just didn't want to come west. And I understand on my radio show the other day when he retired, and it was a really hard year for him. And there was a text that his dad sent me right before Tampa came to Levi's, and I invited him on the radio show when he came on, and he sent a text back, this could very well, Greg, be the last time. And then I responded back with a question and never answered it. But I think he knew, and they all knew. At some point this season, he just had a hard enough time getting through this season, let alone thinking about a next season. And now he's got to you know, put his life together again. So that, I don't know if that would have happened. That would cost you a lot of money. I don't think the Niners would have done it, Jason, just because, you know, Tom Brady's not going to come in and play for nothing.
Right.
So you know, $25 million right now. The quarterback room combined is $10 million with Brock and Trey. You may have to add a veteran here, depending on Brock's surgery. But I just think you've got a lot of free agents you got to re-sign here. And you got to re-sign Nick Bosa at some point. Now, do you have to give him new money? That's for later in the offseason, probably right around training camp. But as far as Brock goes, I think everybody wants an answer. Is he going to have Tommy John surgery? I think the plan is, like any surgery, you get in the operating room and you open up his elbow and you look and see, and the doctor determines, like, you know, he's the best in the world at doing what he does. Can I fix this quarterback's arm without taking a ligament from some other part of his body or a cadaver, however they do it, and surgically repairing this by Tommy John? Or can we do another surgery that does not involve Tommy John and then brace it after? That's going to be a check with me at the line of scrimmage of the operating room.
Yeah.
Whether you go kill, or can, or Oscar, and you decide there. Now, who makes that call in the operating room? Is that just the surgeon? What directive does he have?
Kyle's in there.
Why? Exactly. John Lynch. I'm sure Sean Purdy is dad. I don't know how they make that call, but, you know, and then that'll determine how what kind of rehab he has. So if he does not need full-blown Tommy John and it's a 3 month till he can throw and you brace it after that, and Brock Purdy goes in as your quarterback. Now, every year's different. You know, Brock obviously played great this year, but it's a new year. You've got to go play, and he's got to compete, and who knows what kind of advancement Trey Lance makes. Look at Jalen Hurts. How much better did that guy get in a year's time? What if Trey Lance comes back and improves as much as Jalen Hurts did? And now you're like, whoa, here we go. Now we got two. So the first thing is to get Brock healthy. Get him operated on as soon as possible. Let the rehab start. And then Trey's still got a boot on his foot, so he's got to get through that. And then improve. You know, do what, you know, Jalen Hurts went down to 3D QB last year like Trey did. Tom House is out at the quarterback school in Southern California. You know, work on his craft, try to get better, whether it's mechanics or footwork or seeing the field or whatever he can do to get better, you know, get better. And then, you know, I think they obviously got to go to training camp with a third quarterback or a fourth. So, you know, do you go out and get somebody? Let's see where the market goes. There's going to be a lot of quarterback movement, obviously, in the offseason. What happens with Derek Carr?
Yeah.
I'm hearing Derek Carr may get cut today. The Raiders don't want him with that contract playing in the Pro Bowl, even though it's a flag football game. There have been guys that have torn their ACLs playing flag football or beach football.
Robert Edwards,
good call. Yeah. So, and I don't know if Derek fits here, but there's going to be a lot of quarterbacks available, you know, between now and the start of the new league year in March.
Well, we come to it. It was a wonderful season filled with ups and downs and mudslides in Chicago and quarterback after quarterback coming in and being successful. It was a great run, and you helped us provide color for so much of it every Friday at 8 a.m. Have a well-deserved, well, I mean, you still work, you still got your show, but have a well-deserved off-season, if you will, from the Niners. And I know, as always, you know, our corporate office has to get with your representatives and all that, but I just pray every Sunday that we'll come to terms, as we do every year, and welcome you back next year.
Yeah, those are very tense negotiations, comparable to what Farag has to do with Nick Bosa.
Yes.
So that'll be hard.
Thank you.
Let me just say, well, first of all, I'm a phone call away.
Yeah.
So whatever you need me to hop on and just, you know, shoot the breeze with you guys, I'm here. And then I'm calling it right now. We're going to have our first Warriors-Sacramento Kings playoff series this year.
Okay. There we go. Well, then we're definitely
visiting.
I don't
know what round it's going to be in. It could be in the first round.
Sure.
It could be you guys three and Warriors six.
Sure.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Could be in a Western Conference final.
Oh, I like that.
But don't you feel this? Steve Kerr against Mike Brown?
Oh.
How great would that be? Can you feel it?
Oh,
never. We've never done it. Let's do it.
Can't wait for it, and we'll definitely have you on for that. Thank you so much, Greg. We appreciate it. Thanks so much for coming on, everyone.
Thank you, boys.
All right. Thank you.
That is Greg Papa. We will take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into last night in the NBA. Don't forget, Dakota Lewis, the PBR writer, in studio with us at 8:27. We're right back on Sactown Sports.
The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sactown Sports. The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
On Sactown Sports.
Greg Papa.
Yum.
All right, we'll see him next year. Although, I like what he said. If it is Kings-Warriors.
Yes.
Yeah.
Never happened. He's right. Neither team's been in the playoffs at the same time. I also like what he said, that if the Eagles won the Super Bowl, usually the Super Bowl team hosts that Thursday night game, and if the Niners are on the schedule. That's a very appealing opening night game.
What do you think about this, by the way? Because I've heard this before. Our guy's here, by the way, Jay. As we're getting ready for Dakota Lewis in studio coming up here in about 10 minutes. Always one of my I always love that stuff. We also need some headphones in here, too, I think. Never mind. We have 700.
We have a graveyard over there. I'm going to go with no.
Do any of these work at all?
Well, he'll be able to hear us in here.
He will. It is. Oh, boy. Anyways.
What are you doing over there?
I'm trying to pull some,
besides making a mess.
Headphones for our guest. What would you think about the NFL going back? Didn't they used to do this? And if not, going back to the first game, that Thursday game, which I like that that hasn't been around forever.
Right.
But what if you did a rematch of last year's Super Bowl?
Yeah, but it has to be on the schedule.
Huh?
That has to already be scheduled.
Well, doesn't each team have like? I know they play their people, and
right.
are there? I'm trying to think now. Aren't there a couple games every year that are like? I won't say wild.
Well, it's really crafted the way. I mean, without going into the minutia of it, obviously you play your own division,
sure.
And then each NFC division plays another NFC division,
right?
NFC division team, and then you play one in the AFC. So. It would just have to line up right. So it's possible. It doesn't always happen, though.
Either way, I think Niners, Eagles next year. And then, of course, either way, you either lose the game or you win. And then when you win, everyone's like, oh, well, you win when it didn't count.
Right.
But, yes, I would love to have Greg Popovich. How would that even go? Because he would come on in a Warriors-Kings playoff situation. Mm-hmm. He would come on, but then it's like, welcome in Greg Papa.
Yeah. Now he's the enemy.
Now he's the enemy.
Right. But I think he talks up the Kings. I think he secretly likes the Kings.
He does.
He likes Mike Brown.
Mike Brown, I like. Mm-hmm. And Mike Brown, who knows if he likes Indiana or not, but that's where they are. Indiana, a coatless Kevin Herter. If you missed that, he's going to be back with us. We'll re-rack that in about 45 minutes. Kevin Herter, did he forget his coat in Minneapolis? Find out then. They go into Indiana tonight. Indianapolis, to be specific. As a matter of fact, they have been there. And Indiana had – they played the Lakers last night, and Tyrese Haliburton tried to challenge in his first game back Anthony Davis.
Laker lead is 112-111. Tyrese Haliburton trying to work one-on-one. Blocked by Davis. We got a whistle. No, we don't. Lakers have it. What a play by AD.
Yeah. That didn't work.
No, and the other part about that, the other storyline that's kind of lingering out there, anything with the Lakers at least, is LeBron's closing in, getting closer, a couple games away, likely maybe two.
Yeah, and have you seen the numbers on some of these tickets?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Now, the last one here, I think they go to New Orleans, and then they come home. The two home games, it's where it's going to happen, and those tickets are going to be pretty special to have.
Tyrese Haliburton did. He took a ton of shots last night. I think it was 11 of 24, but he hit a three.
Hachimura with a dead-on three. Front rim short. Rebound deflects off of James. Grabbed by Turner. Up the floor, Haliburton. A three on the break. Left edge, and that was much needed.
And finally, Buddy Hield. Could he win the game for the Pacers?
It's Buddy Hield with three, with two. Buddy Hield, no! Lakers have it! Lakers win it in a thriller in Indy.
Yeah, generally, you know, for the Kings' perspective, I don't know that I like that Indiana lost last night. I mean, look, it's going to be about matchups, but the Pacers are trying to get back into the playoff picture. They've really hit the skids, especially when Tyrese was out. He's fresh back. First game was yesterday. They were a team that was playing better basketball earlier on, and they're at home. But the Kings are already there, so you're getting a team that's playing the second night of a back-to-back, though, as we said earlier, that hasn't been to something that's played out well for the Kings.
No, it isn't. And then tonight, I mean, if you had to pick, I know this is tough, if you had to pick a matchup, is there a matchup that stands out more than any other?
There's actually a couple tonight. I'm excited to see, well, no Fox, so Davion Mitchell against Haliburton, I think, is going to be intriguing. Sabonis against his old running mate there, Miles Turner. And then they're not going to match up against one another, but they were both picked pretty high in the lottery, and that's Keegan Murray and Benedict Mathurin. I want to see how those two, you know, who has the better game there. Mathurin's had some really good games still coming off the bench, Keegan starting, and Keegan coming off his first shutout game. He didn't score. So he had that three-point streak going. I'd like to see Keegan's bounce back.
I would, too. I wouldn't mind seeing that. I really – you know, Mathurin was your guy.
Mm-hmm.
Mathurin was your guy in the draft. Not that you had anything against Keegan.
Right.
And he really has he's produced one of the most, I would say, unique rookie of the year candidacies. I think we know it's Paolo Banchero's to lose, but very interesting. You rarely see this. This guy's averaging 17.5 points, a little over 4 rebounds and an assist. And how weird is it for a team to pick that high in the lottery to have that rookie coming off the bench?
Right.
You almost never, ever, ever, ever see that. Yet it's somehow working. And I think that's kind of a testament to that's a testament to Rick Carlisle, and it's a testament to the entire brass there that they're handling what, and this is probably going to be better for him in the long run.
Yeah, and that's another thing that I've kind of looked at. You look at the way – this isn't the finished product of the Indiana Pacers, let's put it that way, because I would say their strength is their backcourt.
Yes.
You can put Mathurin off the bench because right now you have Tyrese Halliburton, who we learned is an all-star, Buddy Hield. Those two guys have more NBA experience. One's an all-star. One's been a really good three-point shooter in this league. But then Andrew Nembhard has been starting too, another rookie. They've used a three-guard lineup. Mathurin comes off the bench. You also still have T.J. McConnell. Another guy that they drafted a couple years ago who they were high on, Chris Duarte.
Yeah.
So they've got a lot of good young guards, and one experienced one in T.J. McConnell, that they've got to clean that up. They're going to move some of those pieces at some point.
Also, we had other games around the NBA that affected the Kings last night, including Memphis and Cleveland, and some fisticuffs happened.
Mitchell, but has his layup attempt blocked.
Uh-oh.
Mitchell went right after Brooks. We got a fight. There are actually punches being thrown. Mitchell and Brooks, who got into it back in the day in the playoffs, and guys are all over the place. Both
now the security teams are fighting. Now the coaching staff
are fighting. Oh my gosh, whoa. This is out of control.
See the guy in the quarter zip come in and tackle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Quarter zip never works.
You don't like quarter zip?
I like quarter zip. Just give me the whole zipper.
Yeah.
What's a quarter zip for?
What's a half zip?
Half zip, yeah. Well, is that that's a full zip, right?
Full zip.
Yeah, yeah, see that? We'll take a break. When we come back, we think Jay has been off searching.
Where's Jay?
For Dakota Lewis, who has been, who we think is at a building on this street.
Mm-hmm.
Although imagine coming in from out of town and come to this
what
building.
What could go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong? We may or may not have Dakota Lewis in studio.
And
PBR
Jay.
Writer. And Jay, next.
Sacktown Sports goes 100% live and local
from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Tune into Carmichael, Dave, and Jason Ross from 6 a.m. to 11 a.m. Followed by the return of Deuce and Mo
Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Followed by Cattles and Rami from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. You wanted more local? We're giving you more local on Sacktown Sports, your local sports leader. Waking you up with the best in local sports.
They just make it interesting, you know?
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross
on Sacktown Sports.
So I was just saying off the air to our new friend Dakota, who is in studio with us, the same speech that these listeners hear every year when we have a PBR writer, mm-hmm. and that I got dragged by an ex-girlfriend, 12, 13 years ago, to Arco Arena to go see PBR. And I, with the exception of us going to Super Bowl, when you can't go, when those overlap, I've not missed a year. We'll be there this.
You're going again?
On this Sunday with the wife and the son. And daughter's got a sleepover, a slumber party. She's missing it. It's always amazing to talk to folks who, much like, you know, we do a lot of mixed martial arts coverage. And I always say there's got to be a little, a 10% screw loose.
Maybe more than 10.
In a great way with fighters and with writers to do this stuff. Dakota, I'm Dave. That's Jason. Thank you for joining us. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. Thanks for having me.
I do think, not that there has to be something wrong with you, but there just has to be something turned off, some form of fear, something, you know, whether it's a skydiver, whether it's a UFC fighter, whether it's a bull rider. You guys go out there each and every weekend and, you know, I don't want to say risk your lives and get dramatic, but you guys can get hurt. You go out there and entertain. It's so awesome to watch.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it's definitely the most dangerous sport out in the world. You know, one wrong step from them bulls, and that could be the end of it. But for us, I mean, it's something that it's got to be a passion. It's got to be in your heart. You know, you got to love it. Mm-hmm. And for me, I mean, growing up, my dad, he was a 2-time world champion bull rider. So, I mean, for me to be able to ride bulls on this this stage is a dream come true. So,
yeah.
I mean, so when did you start then? If you're watching your dad do it, I'm guessing you've done this since you were.
Tell me you were riding the, what do they call it, mutton busting? Yeah. The little sheep?
Yep. So I was mutton busting. That was my first debut there. I was probably about 4.
Wow.
And then made my way through the rankings, got on the calves and the junior steers and the junior bulls. And then I ended up getting on my first big bull when I was 13.
Wow.
And I only stayed on for probably about 3 seconds, but it was the most adrenaline high I had ever felt, and I wanted to do it again. And, I mean, I've rode horses my entire life, and I've roped, and I love that as well. Don't get me wrong, but that right there, that instant rush,
sure.
I was like, that's what I want to do right there.
A couple of traditions we have. We always ask our rider friends, give us a quick list of the top injuries through the years for you.
You know, probably the top injury for me is I had fractured my pelvis one time and ruptured my large intestine, and I was actually told – probably 2 days after the surgery that I'd never ride bulls ever again.
God. Wow.
And, man, I have my mom calls it thick-headed. I call it strong-willed.
Right, right.
But, you know, I was just so determined. Like I said, it was just in my heart. And I felt like it was there for a reason, you know, and it just made me work that much harder. And good Lord willing, here we are.
Right.
So I'm thinking that scale, though. Obviously, the adrenaline rush, and you've loved this. There's a passion. But at some point, when you are physically hurting, do you ever say, yeah, why am I doing it? I'm not doing this again, or it's always been, I'm doing this again.
And how's your mom with it, too?
Yeah.
Oh, so my mom is the most supportive. And every time we go, she's about winning. Yeah. She says, there's no excuses.
You know? Wow, that's tough, awesome. Mom.
Oh, yeah. And she makes sure, you know, if we're up on our training and making sure we're focused. And, yeah, no, it's a huge passion. In our household, I have a younger brother who also rides, and, you know, it's just in our blood.
Now, I was talking to our good buddy Kirk Reinhart with the PBR, who is a longtime employee of the Kings as well, and we were talking on the phone last night. He told me something I did not know. There's a new wrinkle. You guys have teams going now.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, no, so we had the first ever team series season.
Okay.
Where there were 8 different teams. 8 different franchises, and we had 12 stops, and it was a new exciting format, you know. It was the first time I've ever rode bulls and been a part of a team where we had done everything, training, practice, travel, everything, and it definitely upped the game, I feel like, for a lot of guys, you know, just to get that knowledge from other riders and trainers, and I really think it's going to elevate the sport. Mm.
So what can people expect that are going to be going out to Golden One watching you and your other riders out there?
Oh, it's going to be exciting. The best bull riders in the world against some of the best bulls in the world. Mm-hmm. And, man, once that gate opens, you know, there's no on and off switch for them bulls. They're going to do what they want. And, you know, they're genetically bred to buck us off.
Yeah.
And our job is to stay in the middle. So, I mean, you're going to see some high scores, some great rides, and then also – comes with the game, you're going to see some wild and western wrecks, you know.
Right.
And I like to compare it kind of like a rock and roll concert and a bull riding put together, you know.
Yeah. They years ago, Kirk, again, put me in that little...
the shark cage.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
In the middle of...
You got some courage then.
No, I have some stupidity. No.
You wouldn't do that?
No.
Oh,
no.
Dude.
Wait, what?
Listen. I mean, you're just a sitting duck out there.
Yes. And I still have video. I should have had it up. I don't know what it was, but the bull got loose and was doing the bull thing, and the clowns were doing the clown thing, and it full-on rushed that tank and hit it full force, and it just vibrated. And, you know, you see it on TV or you see it in person, and you have an idea of how powerful they are. If I had any questions about how nuts you guys are, they were all answered there, because these things are forces of nature.
Oh, and that's the thing. You know, a lot of people think, oh, you guys got to be big and strong to ride them bulls. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, they're 2,000 pounds.
Right.
I'm 170. There's no way that I'm going to be able to outpower one of them. I mean, it's you have to have a fluent motion. You know, I feel like it's kind of like a dance. You know, you got to be there every move, step by step, and one wrong step or one wrong move, you're going to be out of timing, and that's going to be the end of it.
I know for all the different people we've interviewed or talked to in whatever sport it might be, there's someone they're chasing, whether it's someone they idolized, a hero. Is there a bull that you always think about? You go like, man, at some point, that's the – or the, is there fear of any of them out there? Any specific a bull that just, man, one day I'm going to ride that one?
You know, I try to stay pretty optimistic about it all. Mm-hmm. You know, keep it basic, and whatever bull you're going to get is the bull you're going to draw. I mean, I feel like it's meant to be. If you're supposed to ride him, you put out your best effort, stick to your basics. And I mean, yeah, there's definitely bulls that maybe you don't like as much.
Right.
As soon as you start thinking about them ones, those are probably the ones that you're going to draw next.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I like to just, you know, just remain optimistic about it. I got a really good bull here, so I'm super pumped about that tonight. His name's Gangster Time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, yeah, and I've got to see him around the tour. He's one of the more well-known ones. He's not an easy one, but he's one that if you you do your deal, you're going to be up there in the round.
What makes you not likable? What is it about it?
You know, maybe
unpredictable.
Maybe some unprediction by not being as wanting to buck smooth. You know, for us, we're scored on how high the bull bucks and how fast he spins. Well, if a bull's just kind of going across there, not really doing that, then, you know, those ain't the ones you want to get on because you don't really have as much of a chance.
Yeah. I want to remind everybody, PBR this weekend, starting tonight, the Unleash the Beast Tour. Go to Ticketmaster.com or the Gold One Center box office and get in there. I also want to acknowledge not just one of my friends here, Chris, but more importantly, my wife. Because earlier in this interview, I said, I think about 9-10 years ago, my ex-girlfriend,
I was thinking
yeah,
that.
So I've
You're
been
off
married
your 15 timeline.
Years. I just want to be clear.
I didn't want to say anything.
I want to be very clear. I'm off my timeline. Time flies. So about 17 or 18 years ago, an ex-girlfriend.
I'm sure she dragged you there.
Oh, that's going to be a fun weekend for me, and we'll be there this Sunday. Dakota, is another tradition I like to ask, is 8 seconds. Is that still the... Is that still the movie? That's the one bull riding movie I've seen, the Lane Frost story, Tuff Hedeman and all that. Obviously, you've seen it. Is that still the gold standard?
Man, you know, I can't even tell you how many times I watched that movie myself.
Yeah.
But, I mean...
they need another one.
Well, I mean, we've kind of elevated and the revolution of it all. Actually, we have kind of a sneak peek. There's... a documentary series on the PBR.
Oh, my God, because they've got the ones for F1 and for golf that they're starting
they're really
to do.
Really good.
And that's the best subject right there would be PBR.
So it's going to be coming within the next 2 months.
I will
tell you that.
Okay.
It's going to be on Prime Video.
That's awesome.
And there's 8 specific guys within the PBR that they had video or, you know, shot with throughout the season. And I was lucky enough to be one of them
guys. Oh,
that's
great.
So, yeah, we're pretty excited for when it comes out.
Well, do me a favor and put you on the spot because we got to take a break, and I know you got to be on a bull in a few hours. When you got here, you texted me that you were outside, which now means I have your phone number. So I'm going to ask you, when this comes out, I'd love to text you, bring you back on, and we'd love to get the story of the whole thing if that's okay.
Yeah, for sure, partner. Let's get it going.
That is awesome. Dakota Lewis in studio with us. These guys are so awesome. It really, truly is. You might, you know, I don't like country music. I don't like bulls. I don't know. Trust me, I was that guy. And then you go out there, you can hear it in my voice. You guys know you've listened forever. I've gone to this thing, well, apparently for 16, 17 years, a lot longer. Yeah. PBR, Unleash the Beast, Golden One Center. That's tonight, Saturday, and we'll be there on Sunday. Thanks so much for all you do to entertain us.
Hey, man, you guys come on out. I want to hear you cheering a little bit louder for me now.
Yes,
there you go.
Trust
me.
That's going to happen. Dakota Lewis in studio. We will take a break. Who's hot? Who's not? Standing watch coming up next.
The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sacktown Sports. What's hot?
Yeah, hot. Real hot.
And what's not?
It's not good.
Brought to you by American Energy Air and Solar, Sacramento's complete heating and cooling company, and Second Opinion Partner.
Who's hot?
I can tell you who's not. My finger.
Well, let's get to... You know what? Here's the deal.
Uh-huh.
I will let you do who's not for this segment.
Okay.
But I still want to do who's hot.
Dude, who's hot.
Because this was pretty amazing. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Hey, very good.
Last night, 54 points, 19 boards, 10 free throws made. That's pretty good.
That is pretty good.
Kawhi Leonard and Paul George combined in the same game for 33 points, 17 rebounds, and 4 free throws made.
And they still needed a huge comeback, the Bucks did, to beat the Clips.
But he outscored their duo, he out-rebounded them and out-free-throwed them, which is the more amazing one.
Paul George is an all-star, my butt.
There was a nice comparison on Stat Muse, of him versus Fox, and just going to say, De'Aaron has quite the case on Paul George.
That's what they use for PBR numbers. They have Stat Muse. Who's not?
Go ahead. This is your time to shine.
So I don't know. Is there a way to fix this? So we've got our friend Dakota in studio.
Yeah.
And the text lines are up and all that on both YouTube and a regular text line at 916-339-1140. And, of course, Jackbone Russ Dum-Dum is in there just, I'm rooting for the Bulls. Just being snarky ding-dong. So I went to go give him with my left hand while I'm conducting an interview. We're multitasking here. I went to go put him in a timeout, and I blocked him. I don't want to block him.
I can go unblock.
Can you go? Yes, I didn't want to block him. Us. I wanted to put him in a timeout. I hope he didn't see it and go, wait, what? I got blocked for that. I just wanted to put him in a timeout for the rest of the interview because, you know, he can't
put him on a timeout
himself.
The rest of his life.
Yeah, apparently. Our thanks to Dakota Lewis. Our thanks to the PBR. Our not thanks to Kirk Reinhart, who was not. He's always here. I talked to him last night. We had a nice. He was hitting golf balls.
Oh, we like Kirk.
I'm on the phone with him. He was like, "Yeah, okay, see you tomorrow." He didn't stop me. Then he just did. Dakota have anyone with him at all? How about that?
Just came in.
He just drove down in the rain in a strange town.
Yeah.
Comes out. That's what's so great about that sport, too. Everybody's so cool.
Well, he also told us the latter part of the interview that he's got this documentary coming out, which is awesome. Also happened to drop before the interview. Oh, yeah, because you asked him if he's seen the show Yellowstone. Right. He's like, yeah, actually, I had a part in it.
Hey,
like,
he's from Montana. He's a PBR guy. And I go, have you seen Yellowstone? He's like, well, yeah. Actually,
but really humble. Like,
yeah,
well,
very humble.
I had a small part.
No humble bragging
for
Dakota whatsoever. Also, we didn't ask him, how does he feel about Dak Prescott going by Dak? Instead of Dakota, is that kind of insulting? He's not Dak Lewis. Is Dak Lewis a better bull rider than Dakota Lewis?
I think that Dakota's going to be money.
I'm rooting for him this week.
Me too.
All right, we got standings watch.
Standings watch.
That's what I said. Standings watch for your sack.
Standings watch.
Coming up tonight. Your Sacramento Kings take on the Indiana Pacers. Coverage right here, pregame 3:30. Tip at 4 right here on the Sportacious 1140. We've got the Suns, I guess. I mean, they're poverty franchise.
Wow.
Yeah, they're taking on the Celtics. Although, you know, didn't the Celtics, was it last night or the night before where they just blew up on Brooklyn?
Yeah.
Beat them by like 50,000. Who else?
Tonight's a night too, but Dave, by the way, they're all West versus East. There's no, what I say, hey, look, the two Western Conference teams play each other. They're going to lose. Everybody is playing amongst the opposite conference.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah.
Hey, how about that?
So you root for the East besides the Pacers. You want the Kings to beat the Pacers and all those Eastern teams to win.
Let's go East, except the Pacers.
That's the saying we all say.
That is actually what everybody will be chanting. So go East tonight. And, of course, our focus mainly on Kings, on Pacers. Yeah.
And Buddy Hield. Don't forget the and Buddy Hield.
Okay. And Buddy Hield, I guess, who will probably, again, he will probably get booed every time he touches the ball by the home crowd. In the meantime, get the music ready. Here we go. Let's make our big predictions. I feel a sweep. Maybe not necessarily for me. It is 3 in the Key, brought to you by Jason Ross and Sacramento State Basketball. Yeah, brought to you by Russell. When is a block not a block?
Russ, I'm trying to unban you right now. I'll get to it at some point.
Try yourself. Hey, MC doesn't like the standings watch bit.
Really?
Yeah, he doesn't like standings watch.
Maybe he should try watching more standings and he might understand it.
Oh, I thought I was getting you to go standings watch.
No.
See, that was my key. Also, why?
I don't do that when people talk bad about it.
Gotcha. All right, back to you, Jason Ross.
All right, let's go, guys. Here we go, Dave. You lead us off on the first category of 3 in the Key, and that is because De'Aaron Fox isn't playing today.
Standings watch.
So we're going to go with the stat line of Davion Mitchell, who started the other three games, so I'm assuming he's going to start tonight.
Davion.
Points, rebounds, assists.
Davion Mitchell, points, rebounds, assists. He's going to get some good minutes tonight. I am, before I give my prediction, I'm going to point out that I'd like to see more likes.
Oh, I agree with you.
I'd like to see
we had
more
a good
likes.
Couple of days. We got to get those
couple
going.
Of days. You guys need to wake up and hit the like button. You've got to want it. I'm going to go Davion Mitchell. I'm going to go 16 points, 6 assists, 3 steals.
Oh, you're giving me steals? Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was looking for rebounds. But
rebounds.
You're giving bonus.
You know what? 4 rebounds.
Okay. 16, 4, 6 with 3 steals. Yeah. And bonus. I am going to go with 9 points, 1 rebound, 1 rebound. 4 assists for Davion.
To be clear, when you say 9 points, we're not in Germany. You mean 9. You don't mean he's got no points.
No, I mean
okay,
nine.
Just
the number 9.
Okay.
Yeah, after 8, before 10. Jay.
I have him going for 20 points,
wow.
3 boards, okay. 6 assists,
wow.
And will hold Tyrese Haliburton to under 20 points.
Wow. So he will hold him underneath his average for the season.
All right. Well, that's going to be a factor in our next question.
Thank
because
you,
we're
Brian,
talking about
like.
Some former Kings here.
Nope.
I will lead us off in total. We want point total for Tyrese Haliburton and
Shavana.
And
Tyrese Haliburton and who? Don't forget about who, Jay? Who should we not forget about? I don't know. Who is it? Who should we not forget about?
Who?
Don't forget Buddy Hield. Oh, okay. Because of the music. That was well done by all of us. Why is Jay glaring at me so hard?
I will go for 22 points for Tyrese and 20 for Buddy Hield. Jay Mars.
I will have,
you have Tyrese under 20, right?
16 for Tyrese.
Like,
you know what, though? Buddy's going to just have one of those Buddy games. He's going to put up a 30 spot tonight.
Wow. Dave?
I think Buddy is going to have 22 points on, like, 5 of 34 shooting. I think Tyrese will have 25.
Okay.
I do.
And the last one, he's coming back to Indiana. He will not get booed every time he touches the ball. He'll get a nice video.
Yeah.
He's now an all-star with the Pacers and now with the Kings. Jamar, stat line for one, Domantas Sabonis.
We're going triple-double tonight, but it's going to be one where a lot of points are made because they're going to need him to pick up a scoring. I'm going to say 35.
Yeah. Woo!
He'll break his season high from last game.
Wow.
12 boards, 10 assists.
I, too, am going to go with 3D, triple-double. But I'm going to say it's one of those patented Domantas 15 points, 15 rebounds, 10 assists.
15, 15, and 10. I'm going to go 21, 14, and 8.
Oh.
Yeah.
Can I make a bonus prediction?
That's sure. A bonus prediction.
It's not really a hardcore prediction, but being that he's getting the start, being that he's going to play a lot of minutes, I think we're going to call. Yeah, I think it's going to be Davion Deepog Mitchell after the game. I think Davion gets the necklace tonight, and I think really if he plays 30 minutes or more, he like automatically gets it. He's going to be guarding people all over the.
Guarding everybody.
Everybody. He is going to pack Miles Turner when he tries to go to the line.
Pack,
remember,
wow.
Remember Pack?
Loved you.
Shout out 1996.
You got packed, noob. I don't think they had noob back in 1996.
Should have.
So that's 3 in the key.
And we did it.
Here's what's coming up later on in the program. You're going to have Jason Ross's top 10 at 10. I don't want to give anything away, but I can tell you that top 10 at 10, the very first question in honor of the PBR, has to do with beef.
It does.
It 100%.
It's what's for dinner.
Has to do with, you have beef, you have junk food in here, you have, speaking of food, you have a Benedict.
Wow.
I'm reaching.
Right you are.
Now. I'm trying to promote top 10.
Stop ruining our segment.
What are you talking about? And we'll get into the reserves as well at 9:13. Friday fun and games. I was thinking about that on the way in, by the way. This is honest to God. I was on the way in. I was listening to new music from Flo Rida. Every Friday Spotify comes out with
their... And you chose Flo Rida.
No. It's a list. It's a playlist of all the new musics.
Cool.
You know what I was going to start the show with today, Jay?
When it breaks,
we have it first.
It's Sacktown Sports Breaking News.
Before you break your playlist news, I have to break other news. Russell's been unbanned.
And Dave was listening to Flo Rida.
If I didn't have the whole Michael J. Fox Danger Zone thing,
oh, yeah.
I was actually going to lead off saying Flo Rida deserves his flowers.
No, we're not doing that.
Because I was listening to another Flo.
I've seen you have some hot takes. We're not doing it.
They're all bangers.
Name five Flo Rida fans. Go.
Flo Rida fans?
Mm-hmm. People you know that are fans of Flo Rida.
Me.
Okay.
Chris Verlod.
You too.
Jason Ross.
Go.
Jason, how about this? How about who isn't a Flo Rida fan? Well, that's you. You know why?
All right, we're getting a poll.
Because you used to be
YouTube
a music director.
That's true. Used to.
Kevin Herter, re-racking him. He'll join us sort of by recording next.
The only place you'll find Kevin Herter is Sacktown Sports.
Herter's open, steps into three. He's got the triple.
Hey, Sacramento, it's Kevin Herter, and you're listening to the home of the Sacramento Kings, Sacktown Sports.
Your local sports leader.